So he gives me a call and says, you know, I'm like, Dad, what's up? He says, has your mom talked to you? I'm like, no, mom has not given me a call. What's going on? Is there an emergency? He said, oh no, can you preach for me? I'm like, yeah, I got you covered. I'm in the middle of a bass lesson. He's like, I didn't know you were doing anything. I'm sorry. I'll give Heather a call. But you know, I know what happened. He was supposed to ask me, and he tried to slip it off on mom. See, it was the deal. He tried to slip it off on mom, like, your mom was supposed to call you. I'm like, oh really? Uh huh. Yeah, and you're shaking your head. Mm-hmm. He was trying to pull a fast one on me. I'm like, yeah, yeah. Mom was supposed to call me. I see how it is. So. Anyway, I can say that because he's not here, so to defend himself and his good name. If you open up, please, to Psalms. We're going to Psalms 9. And, you know, I pulled out my notes that I had written up. I tell y'all, when I'm up in Colorado, that it's my time to sit down. I do a lot of journaling. I do a lot. I mean, scripture study will last, you know, anywhere from 30 minutes to 3 hours or 5 hours in the morning. Just, I mean, it's me, a cup of coffee, and God, and we're just talking. And, you know, when he's talking, you don't just get up and go, hold on a minute, I'll be back. I mean, you sit and listen, and when you've reached the point, like, okay, that's what you got today. Like, okay, praise God for that. You know, you absorb it, you meditate on it, and you go on the rest of your day. But I'm just, I love that time because there is no time constraint like we have here in our regular day lives. It's just, you're on the middle of a mountain, you know? You got nothing to do. You might as well listen to the guy who made everything possible. So I was flipping through my notes, and if you'll recall, I forget which month it was this year, but there was a month, I want to say it was this year, and looking at it, it may have actually been last year. One of the scriptural themes that we had going on that I put out in front of you was wholeheartedly. And that is doing all things with your whole heart involved. And in scripture, there are four things that we are actually commanded to do throughout the scriptures with our whole heart. That is, one, return to God with your whole heart. Not just half heart, not part of it. Not like, okay, God. No, your whole heart returns to God. The second one is to seek God, not half-heartedly, but wholeheartedly. You're like, this makes sense so far, right? The third one is you're seeking God, you're returning to God. Now you obey God wholeheartedly. The last one that we're going to really look at tonight is praising God wholeheartedly. So, I mean, those are four big things that are going on, and I'm really going to digest all of chapter 9, Psalm 9. It's a beautiful one. I read through it several times, and I started just, as I was reading it, more and more was opening up to me, and it was really, really incredible just once again, you're reading it, you read it slowly, but then the voice carries you through and says, hey, go back and read this again. You go back and read it, and you're like, I see what you're saying. I see how this connects to here. You read it once again. Ah, now it's a very intricately and beautifully written psalm that David did. And I want you to follow along with me. I do read out of the KJV, so if you have another version, that is okay. All right, I'm, you know, as long as, you know, the Jamie didn't like my joke, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway, and that is, I read out of the KJV. If you have the NIV, the NET, that is all fine by me. You can even have the HEB. That is an okay version, but if you read out of the SEC, the door is right there. Okay, that's all there is to it. All right, you follow me so far? All right, you'll catch on, don't worry. So, following along in verse 1, I will praise thee. I love that right there. I will praise thee. Who am I praising? O Lord, how am I doing it? With my whole heart. If that's not a mouthful right there, David goes on. Like, let me tell you how I'm going to actually do it with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. To sit and declare all that is God's would take a lifetime. But he's not just declaring it for himself. He's declaring it for everyone else to know. This is God's. God made the heavens and the earth. God put it possible for us to be here. God made it happen. God gave us that salvation. That at that time, they were still waiting on it. The faithful believed that it would come. They just didn't know when. We know that salvation has come. We can give God all the praise for that. But they were waiting on it. And the truly faithful believed in that salvation. They didn't know how. They didn't know when. They didn't know what. Other than the fact that it was going to be salvation. And that's what they were waiting on. That's a lot of faith. And I think it's absolutely beautiful. But I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will declare all the works that you have done. Not me. But God and God alone. What have you done for all of us? I mean, that's just absolutely fantastic. He goes on. I will be glad. That's the second declaration of what he's going to be doing in praising God wholeheartedly. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I mean, come on. We've all been there. We've had the tough days, right, Cindy? We've had the long days. We've had the trying days. And isn't it amazing when someone gives you that smile and it somehow just illuminates all the darkness around you? It just, I mean, for me, it's Heather, of course, but you know. But there are people in our lives, they just walk around no matter what. They could put a smile, grin ear to ear, no matter what's going on, and you know everything's going to be okay because they still got a smile on their face. They are carrying that rejoicing power. They're carrying that glad, willful desire to take joy in what God has given us, despite anything else in this world that tries to pull our eyes off from it, from him. They are carrying that joy. Whereas, that's her favorite word, she's gone. But that's the second declaration in continuation of declaring all that God has done. The third thing right here, I will sing praise to thy name, O thou Most High. So three declarations that he's going to do. One, he's going to shout out to everyone, let them know what God has done, what God has made, what he will make, and how he's going to do it. The second thing he's actually saying is, you know what? I'm going to take joy, and I'm going to be glad about it. I'm going to rejoice in what God has done and how he's going to do it and all that kind of stuff. And the last thing he's going to do, you know what? It makes me feel so good on the inside. I'm just going to go ahead and sing to the one who has actually given all to us. And he's going to do it how? He's going to do it with his whole heart. So what follows after all this huge declaration, you're like, man, that just pumps me up. I want to go out and sing. If you're like, you know, some of us in the church, I've heard it said in the church, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. If you can move your mouth, you can sing, and you can sing praises to God. Amen. Okay? That's all there is to it. What happens next is David begins declaring the works of the Lord, but particularly in the realm of judgment. And this can take a negative turn quite easily because we love God the Father. We love this God that will not leave us. He will not forsake us. He has given us Jesus Christ. He has granted unto us the power of salvation. And after accepting that salvation, he has given to us the power of resurrection. I mean, mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And you know, all these positive things, why on earth would I want to focus on God the judge? It's because he's righteous and his judgment is righteous. And the judgment that David pours out here and lets the world know is a marvelous work of God. You have to accept it as that. Follow along. So, like, it's going to get heavy, but it's going to get light at the end. Don't worry, because his burden, I'll take it in a heartbeat, right? His burden is light and his yoke is easy, right? Yeah, the yoke is easy and the burden, I flip them around, thank you. Thank you for keeping tabs on me. Come on. All right. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Not just the enemies of David, but the enemies of God. If they don't turn to God, if they don't accept God for who he is, there is judgment that's on its way. Now, we can look at David's life and know time and time again how God pulled him through and he held the enemies back. We can look. I love the story of Elisha and his servant. What are we going to do? Do you see? I picture his servant being someone like, kind of like Don Knotts, like, hi, Ange. Hi, Ange. You know, nudge him. Do you see him out there? There's 300 of them out. What are we going to do? And yeah, yeah. And, you know, what does he do? He prays before God. He says, let him see. Like, let him see what is there. He opens his eyes and he sees the host of angel armies surrounding them. And then he knows that he's in the palm of God's hand, not in the hand of the enemy. Time and time again, we've seen this happen. We know, mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. Why is that? For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne, judging right. All of God's judgments are right. Are we here to actually, like, understand and question his judgment? We can't question his judgment. His judgment is righteous. He's a righteous God. We have to study it and understand why it is righteous. What else does God do? Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. I mean, I'll tell you right now, this is, I mean, it's getting pretty dark, and it kind of reminds me of all things in wars past, and especially within the 20th century. We don't get the history of it, and I'm not comparing God to this person or this person to God by any stretch of the imagination. Don't go there with this. I'm saying the act of wiping out and obliterating the history of it. You have someone like Joseph Stalin, who actually really worked hard in eliminating towns and people and their history, uprooting cemeteries and graves and all this documentation of people ever existing, and just wiping out towns as if they weren't there. It's a part of the world history that we don't get so much here stateside, but especially in Europe and over in Eastern history, they do look at that. They do study that. What is scary to know is that in God's judgment, it's a fearful thing, it's a faithfully fearful kind of thing, knowing that God is going to wipe away all the tears, he's going to take away all the pain. But that judgment day is going to be absolutely righteous and absolutely just, I would say, intensely terrifying all at the same time, but is this still a marvelous work of God? And I would say yes it is, because he is righteous. He is the one that is actually giving that judgment out. No one else is. It's him executing the judgment. It's when I look at that verse, that's what I'm taking from it, is this power that is unlike anything the world has ever seen. O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end. Wait, their destructions are coming to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities. God has, and their memorial is perished with them. So, I told you it gets crazy. Let's keep going through it. But this is a marvelous work, and what are we going to do? We're going to praise God for it. When we sing these hymns, and I love it, when we're actually singing these hymns, the last verse always deals with rapture, and it deals with God coming forth. It deals with the second coming. I mean, that's pretty much every hymn. And I love a hymn like, you know, when we sung it here so many times, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. You know, the deal is like we say, it's well. No, you realize the picture there is Jesus coming. That is the second coming. Armageddon is going to happen, and that is well with my soul, because it is God's will to have it happen. Okay? It gets lighter, don't worry. Okay? Why is all this happening? But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Once again, calling upon God and his omnipotence, his power, but also his righteous judging authority that he has. Follow along with me. This is where it's going to start to turn. It's going to get happy again, I promise. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in time of trouble. We sang it. A shelter in the time of storm. God is that to us now. He is that to us to the end. Okay? He is that refuge to us. And why do we know this? Follow along with me, please. Verse 10. And they that know thy name, the people that know the Lord, that follow him with their whole heart, that obey him with their whole heart, that have turned back to him with their whole heart, and give praise to him with their whole heart, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. I will put my trust in that. I mean, that is just powerful. I mean, to me, that verse grants me comfort. Through all the stuff that I just read, once again, I know no matter what's happening in this world, and let's face it, the world is pretty crazy. You don't have, like, the newspaper at this point, I mean, is almost a moot point. You're just like, you can look at it and know what crazy thing, what idiot in this world did something stupid, and then next thing you know, there's like a protest, and what is going on? Just avoid it. I mean, it's in the paper. It's on the front page. You can't miss it. Right? So, but they know thy name, they'll put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. What are we going to do now? Sing praises to the Lord which dwelleth in Zion. But how are we going to sing those praises? With the whole heart. The whole kit and caboodle. Yes. That's the saying. There we go. So, sing praises to the Lord. He's dwelling in Zion. He's there. Declare among the people his doings. An affirmation and a redeclaration of what he said he was going to actually do in the first place. In verse 1. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Is that us? We are called to meekness. We are called to humility, and we are called to do it in God's name. If we're doing that, he knows our name. He knows our number. Right? Have mercy upon me. I love this. Another work of the Lord. Is God merciful? Time and time again, I don't deserve it, and yet he totally is. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer of them that hate me. Did people hate David? Yeah. Yeah. Did people try to kill David? Yeah. Hopefully no one's trying to kill you right now. But have you had people in your life that have given you strife? Oh, yeah. On the flip side of the coin, have you given strife to people in your life? Okay? We call upon God for that mercy. I am guilty of having strife and having given strife. Okay? I'll put that out there. But I know that when I call upon God and I'm seeking him wholeheartedly, I'm seeking his face, I can trust in the mercy that he has for me. And the mercy he has for all of us here. That thou liftest me up from the gates of death. It's him and him alone that can do that. And David talks about it right there. He's going back into praise. Verse 14, follow along with me. That I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion, I will rejoice in thy salvation. When we do prayer here, when we do prayer at church, I'm not putting it on for show, or I'm not trying to be repetitive about the fact that I want to give praise to God for the salvation that he has given us, that wonderful gift. I'm saying it out loud because, one, I call to remembrance when I talked with Dad the very first sermon I gave, and when we've talked about prayer, he said, pray for yourself, preach to yourself first. So everything I'm saying, please understand, I'm not trying to hit you over the head. I'm saying it out loud because I need to hear it, okay? And if I need to hear it, that's why I'm actually saying it out loud. But I'm going to show forth all the praise in thy gates of the Lord. I will rejoice in thy salvation. When I'm talking about God's salvation and his gift to us, it's a remembrance to me. It's a reminder to me of there is something so powerful, something so indescribable in this world. The only thing I can do is simply talk about, and I love to tell the story of Jesus and his glory. But the only way I can do that is to call to remembrance him going to the cross, bearing my sin upon his body, dying and resurrecting 3 days later to give that power to us through the Holy Spirit if we choose to accept it. I'd much rather have that than anything else in this world. That one hymn we sing all the time, and it's been a while since we've sung it. I know I'm saying it. Someone's probably going to call it out next week, so I'll be prepared for it. But I love singing it. Wade always called it out. Wade passed away. He's one of the guys in this church that passed away the past year. He called it out because his wife, Regina, called it out. She went to heaven first. She would call it out on Wednesday night all the time to sing it. And then when she passed away, he would call it out. And he'd always sit in the back when he'd call it out. We'd be singing, and I could never look at him because it just tears running down his... I mean, you're talking about the floodgates just coming down, and he's grinning from ear to ear, but tears are just flooding out of his eyes, and he's singing along, and I'm like, how is he doing this? I couldn't look at him because I would just start choking up. I'd rather have Jesus. That was the hymn that he would always pick. And what a great hymn. What a great affirmation of all that Jesus is and everything in the world's ain't. I can't put it any more country than that, right? Okay. Moving on. I'm going to give joy to that salvation. I'm going to praise God for that salvation. And if I do it every day, fine. If you get tired of hearing about it, I'm not going to get tired talking about it, okay? Because it's just that powerful, and I'd rather have that than anything else in this world. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that... Who made it? They made. I like that. I like that, you know, because it makes me think, you know, I'm guilty of putting my foot in my own mouth. I put it out there. I'm sure some of you, as soon as I walk in, are like, I'm guilty of it too. But I'm guilty of I still put my own foot in my own mouth, okay? Seriously, I do it a lot. I dig my own hole all the time, okay? And sometimes I just keep digging, even though I know I'm already sunk. I'm 6 feet under, and I just, maybe there's another side. Stop. Right? The heathen dig their own pit. They are victims of their own demise. They have chosen their path. They weren't born that way. No. They chose to be that way. The heathen are sunk down in the pit that they made, in the net that they hid, is their own foot taken. They have entangled themselves in the very things they are trying to actually get other people. They are wrapped up in it, okay? You ever been stuck in a spider web? Just gives you the creeps. I know. But, you know, it's one of these things that snow. These two people know what snow is. You ever been in ankle deep snow?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
Knee deep.
Yep.
Waist deep.
Yep.
Oh. And we'll stop with chest deep. But chest deep snow. You ever been in chest deep snow?
I lived in Colorado, yeah.
Yeah. In high school, I was very much an avid skier and snowboarder, and I just loved the backcountry, which is nothing is paved. It's avalanche prone. You go back there, you slap on your board, you just go. I love it. I love the solidarity of it because it's just me, God, and the mountain, and you can stop and you can hear nothing for a long time because you are that far away from everybody. And when you get stuck in a chest deep bank of snow and you have to fish your way, there's no easy way out of it because you know is you can't get on top of the snow because it just crunches down, so you're exerting a lot of energy trying to get out of a mire that is this reflective water power stuff. It's ridiculous. I'd rather be stuck in an ocean than be stuck in snow. All that to say, I put myself there. It's my fault I got stuck there in the first place. And the more you struggle, the harder it is to get out of there. Okay? That's when you just gotta stop. Okay, God, I messed up. Show me. Take my heart. I try to take it back. Just take the whole thing. I can't even hold on to it. It's yours. And show me what to do. The Lord is known by the judgment which he executeth. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Higgion Salah. So, I just summed that up right there, I think, in a little bit. Let's keep going, because this is still more of that judgment. It's going to get dark, but don't worry. It gets light again. We're going about to see what happens to those who do not turn to God, do not turn to him wholeheartedly, do not seek him wholeheartedly, do not obey him wholeheartedly, and do not praise him wholeheartedly. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations, not just the people, the nations that forget God. I pray this nation doesn't forget God. I sincerely pray this nation does not forget God, because everything on that newspaper tells me that it is. One of the reasons I can't read it. It's just too painful. I know what's out there. But is a nation just a country the way the country, like the world recognizes countries today? Is a nation just a country like that? No. What about the Christian nation? The Christian nation that's around the world today? Could they forget God? Oh, I hope not. Yet we've seen a falling away. So, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The needy being us. We need God. I like singing that song, Lord, I need you now. I like singing that song. That's one of those praise songs we sing. Every hour I need you. So, and the expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Follow along with me, please, because it's going to get good again, these last two verses. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail, let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Man will not prevail over me. A country will not own me. God owns me. The world might see me as a Texan. It might see me as an American. Fine. I would hope you'd see me as a Christian first. I'd hope you'd see me in my walk first. I'd hope you would recognize the faith that I try to live by every day. Just like when I look and talk to you, I want to recognize you for the faith that you walk by every day, the praise that you give God every day, the Christian life that you seek in him. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. And men alone. I added that one. And men alone. Salah. We have, and I talked about this last month, Christian identity, right? The world will try to put its stamp on you. Rachel, you're a woman. That's a, I mean, yeah, we can understand that. We recognize that. Walter, you're a man. We get that. That, okay, fine. But the world's going to try to put its stamp on you. You're this. You're this. You're that. You're with them. God wants to put his stamp on you, to be stamped out in the image of Jesus Christ. Is that your identity, or are you accepting the world identity for who you are? I want to actually accept God's identity, because I know every day I wake up, I give him praise, because it's another day. He's not done with me yet. So I better get off my tuchus, no matter how tired I am, slave my way to that coffee machine, get it going, grab another cup if I need two or three that day, fine, and get going and give him the praise, because he's got work to be done. The harvest is plenty and the laborers are few, right? It's waiting for us to reap it up. So let's bow our heads, please.